Whenever I give, my supply is endless. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Whenever I give, my supply is endless. Now, the big problem that all of us have is to prime the pump. We find it so difficult to prime the pump. How do we prime the pump on bringing abundance into our life, on bringing health into our life, on bringing joy into our life, on bringing a man into our life or a woman into our life, or bringing friends into our world, or bringing happy relationships into our world where we might have not been having happy relationships before? How in the devil do we do that? How do we do that? How do we do that? How do we prime the pump and get those things flowing in our life? How do we get those things flowing in our life? How do we get those things flowing in our life? Well, I'll tell you, it's very simple. You heard me say prime the pump? Well, I mean prime the pump. Whether you have an old-fashioned pump over the well and you want to get the suction pulling up the water, first you have to dump some water down the pump so the pump will develop suction to pull the water up. And then you pump it and the water comes up, the water comes up, the water comes up, the water comes up, the water comes up. And then when you stop pumping, the water goes down. It goes right back. If you don't have a valve or some sort of a washer down there to keep the water from back downing. And most of the older pumps didn't have that, you know. So, we are the older models. We are the original models. We don't have that little valve down there that keeps the water from going back down after you're not using it. When we don't use something, it just goes right back to its original source. It just goes right back to where it came from. And for us to be able to get it again, we have to prime the pump. Now, how do you prime the pump with happiness? Well, you prime the pump with happiness by being happy. You go around smiling. But I don't feel like smiling. Well, that's the time you've got to start smiling. But I'm not happy. But that's the time you got to start being happy. But that's illogical. That's hypocritical. Hypocritical. Oh, my goodness. Have you ever heard of hypocritical? Well, those are fun words. Okay, forget it. Who cares if it's hypocritical if it works? Right? Okay, so you go around saying, I'm a happy guy, I'm a happy guy, and everybody thinks you're nuts, you know. And they say, look at that nut, happy guy nut over there, that happy guy nut, that nut who's a happy guy. Look, you see, they already say that, that happy guy. He doesn't have a worry in the world. He doesn't have a thought on his mind other than being happy and enjoying life. Why, look at that guy. Wow, what a wonderful expression. Hey, maybe he's got something there. Maybe he's got something there. Have to look into that, being a happy guy. Okay, can you be a happy guy when you're sad? When every plan you had went flat? When everything went bad? When things happened that were just disastrous in your life? Can you put on a happy smile? Put on a happy face? Laughing on the outside, but crying on the inside, like they say. Well, pretty soon be laughing on the inside. When you start laughing on the outside, you want to laugh on the inside first, of course, but when you get that laughter going, your well of laughter, your well of joy, your well of happiness just floods forth immeasurably. There's no boundary to it. There's no limit to it. Who can put a limit to an archetypal concept? Who can put a limit to any concept? A concept is an icon. It's a thing. It doesn't change by using it. It doesn't change by using it. It still is itself, and it still is there in all the abundance in the world. And what about ours? Whenever I give, my supply is endless. Okay? So, we don't have much money. So we start giving our happiness. We start giving our friendliness. We start giving who we are. We start giving our love. And pretty soon that love just flows on back, and we don't care whether it flows back or not. We're not looking for it to come back. We're looking to give. We're looking to just share what we are. Not because it has to be done. Perhaps because it has to be done in us. But not because it has to be done in another. We are smiling at all. Let's go into a happy room full of happy people. And we go in there and we're happy. And do they notice that we're happy? How could they care less because they're happy. But if we were not happy, Out, 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 out. This is a room only for happy people. If you don't want to be a happy person, get out, get out. Now look, we're grieving. We're in sorrow. We just lost our daddy. And he's gone. He's not ever going to come back again. He's dead. He's gone. Now, we're grieving in here. Don't come in here with your happy face. And you say, well, I just want to tell you that your daddy did this nice thing for me, that your daddy is in my heart as happiness. And your daddy said, whatever happens in my life, I should always be a happy person. That's what your daddy said. And that's what I remember about your daddy. Yeah, yeah, that's daddy, all right. That's what daddy said. You change the whole atmosphere of that negative group into your happy attitude by repeating some of the nice things that make the group happy. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? It's just as simple as that. And you go into a happy group and you start saying, hey, be careful, all you guys with convertibles, it's starting to rain outside. And don't you realize that the thunder and lightning, and don't you realize that there's a big giant walking across the field and stepping on all the cars out there, and you better move your cars so that he doesn't step on them. You know, and people, woo, 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 what's going on? What's, you know, and fright and anxiety. And they go out there and they say, there's no giant. It's not raining. Have April Fool. Oh, let's kill him, you know, because they fall into the trap. It was just a joke. An April Fool. And they were the fool. Now you see, we do that to ourselves. It's so easy to fall into it. It's so easy to have these things take place in our life and for us to think that they're real. But the only real thing is what we do. The only real thing is what we make. You see, a friend of ours wrote a letter today. And he said that business is so good, he has to turn it away. And he said this is the first time in his life he ever had to say no to customers, no to clients, because he could only handle so many. And he wanted to handle those that he has well, rather than having a lot he handles poorly. Because he wanted to be a benefit in the lives of those. And so he had to say no to certain clients. He had to say no. And he had to work on those that he had. Now, he's priming the pump. But then he also said, if he follows the philosophy of the university, he'll never have to say no to anything, because he'll create only those people in his world who are ready to act upon whatever it is that he has to share with them in whatever way he has to share it. And see, this is what it means when we say this statement, whenever I give, my supply is endless. And your supply is money. Your supply is things. Your supply is relationships. Your supply is balance. Your supply is happiness. Your supply is goodness. Your supply is whatever you want your supply to be. Hey, what kind of fisherman are you? What kind of fisherman are you? Are you the kind of fisherman who goes out and sits in the boat and says, there's no fish here? And there's no fish there? Are you the kind of fisherman who goes out in the boat and says, oh, I love fishing. I'd like to pull in about 8 or 10 of them, you know, and have a nice dinner tonight with that, and so forth and so on. He gets the 8 or 10. No more. Then another fisherman goes out there. I don't want to see a fish get near my line. I'm sitting here meditating. This is my time for peaceful meditation. This is my time to be alone with myself. Now you fish, just go away. I'm not even putting any food on that hook. So don't bite on an empty hook. You know? I just put it down there so I look like I'm fishing. And then nobody will come and disturb me. Because you don't disturb a fisherman. That's just a golden rule. You don't disturb a fisherman. Well, let's look at that in other areas of life. When we're in meditation, you don't disturb a meditator. And the little child comes up to his mother and says, Mommy, I got some problems. Mommy says, sweetheart, not right now. I'm thinking about something. Okay, Mommy, I'll see you later. You see, when Mommy respects herself and says, not right now, I'm thinking about something. I got something on my mind that I'm working out. Let me come to a conclusion. Now, it may be the recipe for her cake. It may be how to set the hem of her dress at just the right height so that when she walks, it doesn't go up too high and it doesn't go down too low. And she may have some important or some unimportant, but to her, it is something she's thinking on at the moment, and she wants to give it her full attention. Do you understand? And to give it your full attention, if somebody comes along and wants your attention, you just say, okay, sweetheart, you come back in about 10 minutes, and I'll get to you. Or maybe come back in about an hour, okay? Give me time to just really think this thing through that I'm working on. Okay, mommy. And you see, that way the child learns that time is precious too. The child learns that it can have time to think about something. One mother went in the back porch and saw her child sitting on the swing, swinging away, about 7 or 8 years old. And the child didn't look up when the mother came out. And the mother said, sweetheart, is everything okay? And the boy turned to his mommy and said, yes, mommy, I'm meditating. Oh, excuse me. And she went away. She didn't need any more information than that, but I'm meditating. And she went away and let him meditate. You see, it doesn't matter what our age is. If we can respect our own self and respect our own inward journey, the inward journey is, how do you get happiness? By being happy. That's an inward journey. Because you have to think of all the things that make you happy, or stupid stuff that makes you feel silly and joyous and happy. And if you want to be wealthy, you think of being wealthy. Now, let's say wealthy is money, okay? You think of wealthy as money. You think, okay, I have all the money I enjoy, and it's there. Now, how do you conceive of all the money? Do you think you're going to pay your bills? Do you think that you're going to buy this or buy that? Please don't. Wealth is not to buy things. Wealth is to be things. I have a perfect house. I have a perfect family. I have a perfect larder. I have a perfect job, if that's my desire. I have whatever. I have it. It's not that you're going to buy it. You're going to get it. It's going to come. You have it. I am happy. I am filled with joy and peace and harmony. I am balance. Then you are the richest being on the face of the earth. They were comparing the national debt of many trillion dollars. And they were saying that that is like giving everybody in the United States so many thousands of dollars at one moment. Or one illustration was, it is 114 times Bill Gates' worth. And isn't that interesting to compare one man's worth to something so tremendous like that, you know? But it's true. It's true. But does Bill Gates worry about it? No. Does the federal government worry about it? No. It just goes out and creates the debt. It just goes out and does this. Now, do other countries owe us a lot of money? Yep. Do we owe other countries a lot of money? Nope. We don't owe anybody anything. We have paid everything. We pay it. And we're in debt for it. We're in debt to ourselves. We're in debt to ourselves. And you see, the thing to do is be out of debt. Instead of living in a, you see, we're living in a debt consciousness right now. And that's why our national budget, and that's why our economy is a little bit on a different position. But the moment we start living in an abundance consciousness, and where does it start? In you, in me. It starts in me alone. So when I live in an abundance consciousness, my country lives in abundance consciousness. We were in Australia, remember? And we were treating when the money was going down and the budget was so bad. We say, hey, believe in your government. Believe in your country. You have a great country. You're abundant. You're abundant. You're abundant. You're rich, 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 rich. You're fantastic. And by the time we left that country, within 2 weeks, poof, the budget showed an upward movement very significantly. And it was moving very well. Now, why don't we do that here in this country? Well, we didn't have that same naive enthusiasm about the United States. We didn't have that same naive enthusiasm about the world, about peace on earth when the Iraqi thing came up. We could have instantly said, hey, there is peace on earth. And, you know, everything would have stopped. Everything would have stopped. And we wouldn't be spending billions of dollars bringing Iraq back into its natural condition. Very interesting, very interesting. You see, whenever I give, my supply is endless. Whenever I give, my supply is endless. And our supply is endless. How can the United States be trillions of dollars in debt? Simply because their supply is endless. Can the United States at some time just write off the debt and start out from scratch? Sure. Easiest thing in the world. But they don't do that. You know why they don't do that? They don't do that because this keeps people on their toes in that area. And the people think they need the government to do this. Well, you don't really do that. All you need is to be yourself and have fun. So this day, let's put that cause in motion for ourselves. Whenever I give, my supply is endless. Whenever I give, my supply is endless. I have primed the pump. And in priming the pump, the supply is endless. Could you personally ever use up all the water that is under the ground available in your well? No, not in your entire lifetime. Could anyone ever use up the supply? Not at any time at all. The supply is endless. Do the Iraqis have enough oil underneath their country that they could pay for all the things that the United States is giving to them? Powerfully. Yeah, yeah. Could Ghana and Guyana live as a luxury state in a garden state with all the oil underneath them? You bet. And they do. Could Cuba live in luxurious paradise by just tourists alone? Easily. But do they? Their government is saying to them, you are living a luxurious life by tourism alone and all the other things like the Havana cigars and other things. They are just cream on the top of the cake. Now, let's put that in motion for ourselves. We can live in luxurious estate, mentally, physically, and spiritually, as we realize that the pump draws upon an infinite supply from within us. But we have to prime that pump by being happy, by thinking abundant thoughts, and being supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. You're all a wonderful group. I think that the world is so much better off because you're here. I love you, I love you, I love you.